Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
I am so excited to be here today. And as Pastor Dan said, it is Mother's Day, and so happy Mother's Day to all the mums that are out there. We love you. We know what it takes to be a mum. I personally do now, from experience. I have a 1.5-year-old daughter almost, which is crazy. But hey, as Pastor Dan also said, I know that today can be a day with mixed feelings for a lot of people. It can be a day held with longing, with grief, with pain, with estranged relationships, whatever that may look like. And here, as Dan said, we want to celebrate all women, but we also just want to take a moment to acknowledge that, hey, if this day does hold lots of feelings for you, and the reality is we don't live in only one emotion. There is often mixed emotions, and in one moment we can hold grief, in another moment we can hold joy. And so whatever that feeling is for you, let's again remember that the Bible says we celebrate with those who celebrate and we mourn with those who mourn. And so let's make ourselves available to one another, but also let ourselves hold space for both of those things today. Let's hold space to celebrate with these babies that have been born and dedicating them to God. And I know for so many of them, I know their personal stories and their personal journeys of seeing these miracle babies. And so if you want some encouragement, go talk to those parents, because they have their own journey, their own testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness to them. And for those that are struggling and you are, hey, well done for rocking up. Hey, I want to celebrate you for choosing to not isolate yourself today, for choosing to show up, to choosing to put yourself in the house of God, because so much of what God has for us is in one another. So much of God's comfort, His peace, His grace, His sufficiency is found in each other. And so, hey, I want to honor you. I want to celebrate you for choosing to do life in community today, for choosing to position yourself in God's courts, because that is where we find healing. That is where we find fullness of freedom. That's where we find hope for the future, to come alongside people and go, hey, I get it. And I can't make it better, but I do know one who can. I do know one that can provide the hope and the peace and the joy. And so, hey, I just want to acknowledge that and say thank you. Thank you for being here. We love you. We see you. And we honor that choice to put God first today. Hey, and my prayer is that God might meet you in those tenderest places today and just minister deep into your heart. And I really do believe that the word God has given me is for us today, and it's something we have wrestled with and sat on and delved into and had to go through my own process of, okay, God, what does this mean? And I would love us today to turn to Psalm 51, verse 10. If you've got your Bible here, if you've got your paper Bible, if you don't have a Bible, we would love to get you a Bible, but you can also scan the QR code on the seat in front of you and download our app that has a Bible on it there. And so we're going to turn to Psalm 51, verse 10 to 12. And it says this, it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Well, God, I thank you for the honor, for the privilege it is, Lord God, to be in your house today. Thank you, God, that holy, all-knowing, all-sovereign that you are, you invite us, God, into relationship with you. Invite us to sit at your feet, to come into your presence, God, to do life, to do communion with you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll anoint my words today, Lord God. They will not be my words, they will be your words, Lord God. Holy Spirit, that you illuminate your word, your truth, and your heart for us. God, won't you restore us to the joy of your salvation today. Holy Spirit, won't you go before us when we have ears to hear, Lord God, what your spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as I said before, I am a mum. I have a 1 and almost a 1.5-year-old daughter. And so she is like a lot of energy at the moment. We've officially hit the like real toddler stage where it's like everything is no, even if she means yes. Dan asked her yesterday, do you want your water? And she goes, and then cried because he didn't give her water. And I was like, I think just no means yes and yes means no at the moment. It's like everything's just no first is her first response. It's so much fun. And she is a lot of fun and she does bring me a lot of joy. And every morning she'll, when we get her up now, she'll come in for kisses and like just want to give us kisses. And so she does lots of sweet things like that. But also she just is a lot. And there's just a lot that is required from us to parent her. In the early days, it's like feed, sleep, cry, poop, repeat. And do you know what? Like, there's hard moments in that, but that, to deal with the willpower of this child who has the best of me and the worst of Dan and the combined... I didn't even mean to say it like that, man. Okay. The truth comes out. And this kid now not only requires to be fed on demand, but now she requires specific meals that she likes to eat and specific meals that she doesn't like to eat. And if she doesn't like it, it'll just be pushed straight off the high chair. I have a lovely painting on our wall at the moment behind the high chair of some pasta sauce the other day that she didn't like and just splashed up the side. I legitimately had a conversation with Dan the other week about, I thought we had mold growing on our ceiling in our newly built house. I was like, babe, where has this come from? It had rained. And he's like, pretty sure that's porridge. And so I had to get up on the roof and scrub the porridge off the ceiling because it looks like we had mold growing on it. And sure enough, if I hadn't left it there, we probably would have. But this kid is a lot. I have to feed her 3 meals a day. In the last 24 hours, we had like so many poos and so many wet nappies because she's just eating around the clock. She grew a whole like shoe size in 3 days. It's a lot. And here's the thing, right? She needs something from me all the time. And here's the thing, that even before I was a mum, I'm a wife. And before I was a wife, I am a sister, a daughter, a daughter-in-law, a sister-in-law, a pastor, an employee, a student. I've been an intern. I've had all these hats. And here's what I know about you, even if I haven't had the privilege of meeting you yet, is that you wear a lot of hats too. Whatever your life looks like, whatever the titles are that you hold, you have a lot of hats. Dad, you probably carry a lot of the financial responsibility to provide for your house, whether that is just providing financially, whether that's providing the fun for your kids. Man, the amount of like bubbles that Dan blows in a week, I'm like, I will do everything. I will do the nappies, I'll do the thing, but if I have to blow one more lot of flipping bubbles, I'm going to lose my mind. And so last night I was like, Dan, I will do everything, but you have to do bath time tonight because I cannot blow one more lot of bubbles for this child. And so dads, you carry the fun. And whether it's the being the resident handyman, the official spider killer, the fly swatter, the car servicer, the petrol filler, the resident handyman, bin taker out, a box crusher, whatever it might be, whether you're a boss and you have to be the strategist, the visionary, the creative, the leader, the friend, the mentor, whatever it is, whoever you are, every one of us has people that we're responsible for and that we're accountable to. And if you're anything like me, that can create a little bit of pressure and a little bit of angst if we are trying to hold all these pieces together in and of themselves. There's always someone who needs something from us. There's always someone who is requiring something of us. And so when I read Psalm 51 and it talks about being restored to joy, when it talks about being sustained, I'm like, yep, that's, I want it, I need it. But also there's a part of me that's like, but like, where do I find time to work out how on earth to do that thing? Because it's like my life is already so full. There's already so many pressures. There's already so many things that just feels like one extra thing to add to the list to work out how to do, how to implement, how to impart in my life. But here's the thing. I think for so many of us, we feel so far disconnected from living in the reality of that verse. It feels like a tokenistic affirmation that we'd put on a cute Etsy mug rather than something that holds power and authority to affect and transform our lives in every area. And I'm here to tell you today that it is no cute sounding quote. It is a directive from heaven. It holds all power, it holds authority, and it can change the way we live our lives. It can change and transform us to be living in the fullness of joy. It can help us keep our eyes fixed on the good and not being dismissive. We don't shut down the bad. We don't pretend it's not there. We need to hold space for every feeling that we feel, but also it helps us keep our eyes fixed on heaven and fixed on eternity and fixed on the things that matter most. I mean, here's the caveat. It says this. It says, if we have a willing spirit, I believe that God wants to restore us to the joy of our salvation. that euphoric feeling that when we first got saved, that we actually believed that God would do everything he said he would do. That we actually believed that if God was for us, that nothing this side of eternity, in the spiritual realm, in the natural realm, whatever it might be, could separate us from God. That moment when we actually believed that we had power, that we had authority, that we could do anything when we were in Christ. That the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives inside of us. And so where do we start in living the truth of this restoration power? I want to go back to the beginning. If you would turn with me to Genesis 1, it's the very first book of the Bible, super easy to find. Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28. And it says this, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. God's first ordinance at the creation of the world was for us to flourish. It was for us to take ground. It was for us to subdue. It was to be fruitful. It was to be an image bearer of the glory of God. It talks about reflecting God's glory on earth and his kingship and his sovereignty over it. It wasn't about us having all the control, but it was about us having all the authority and all the authority in Christ. It talks about in the very first part, it says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." There was a divine council moment between the Godhead to determine. That didn't happen on any other day. God just spoke and it happened, and giraffes appeared and elephants appeared and ground appeared and water appeared. But God had a council moment within and of himself, because he was so passionate, he was so determined to get this part right, that he created us in his image. And so Psalm 51 is an invitation, firstly, to be restored to the purposes of God. In Ephesians 2:10, it says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We were created through Jesus for good works. God predestined our lives so that we might walk in the good plans and the good purposes that he has for us. He wants to restore us to the fullness of what God has for us. Restore us to the purposes, restore us to the plan, and not just our ideals and not just our natural plans of, hey, this is what I think my life would look like and this is my 10-year plan. No, but restore us to the goal that God wants us to flourish in everything we do, in whatever we do. God wants to be in the midst of it. And here's the thing. I don't know about you, but whatever your season looks like, God has a plan and God has a purpose. For me, again, I had a baby a year and a half ago now. And for me, that maternity leave season was such a significant one, because I've worked here at church for the last 11 years. And so my life is talking to Christians about Christian things. And so I don't really have much scope outside of that to actually be in the world and connecting with people outside and bring them into the family. But I knew that that maternity leave season was one of purpose, that held such a different purpose, and not a different purpose, but such a unique aspect of being able to outwork that purpose. And so over the 10 months I was on maternity leave, I think the count was about over a dozen people that I was able to meet in the community and bring in to this community, and to be able to bring them along to playgroup, to bring them along to Christmas productions, and bring them along to church on a Sunday. And these people were from all walks of life, and I literally did every single possible activity. I did a CAFS group, I did swimming with Zaraya, I did a Mums and Bubs Pilates class. I did all these different activities, not because I needed it to fill my week, not because Zaraya needed to learn how to swim at 2 months old, but because there was purpose in it. There was purpose in going into our community and bringing people in. And I love the stories of these mums that was like just crave community, that they didn't have what we have and can so easily take for granted, in the ability to do life together and the ability to be part of a community that holds so many strengths. And being a young mum, being a new mum, it can be so isolating and so intimidating and with so many voices and for them to be able to come into a safe place to go, hey, I see you, I know you, I get it, hey, we're in the trenches together, just brought so much hope and so much life to these people that had no hope outside of that. They just thought it was all on them to raise this kid and do it right, whatever that meant. But my purpose isn't being a mum to Zaria. Let me make that clear. Children are entrusted to us by God. They are not the fulfillment of our purpose by God. They are an entrustment. Zaria was entrusted to Dan and I to raise and release, not for me to get my identity, not for me to get my purpose, not for me to get my security in. And our life is so much more than our career path, so much more than our family. It's a commission to build the kingdom. It's to be restored back to Eden. It's to be restored back to fullness of relationship. Notice that there was nothing in that about doing more, not about getting it right. It was about let us make God so we might reflect his glory. We make so much of our Christian walk, I know at least I do, about what I need to do rather than actually just going, hey man, how can I reflect God more today? How can I be more in alignment with his mercy, with his glory, with his peace, with his joy? And God wants us to restore us to his purposes in season and out of season, in everything we do, to do it for the glory of God and the good of others. That is my mandate every day. God, won't you help me reflect your glory for the good of others today? Holy Spirit, won't you go before me in everything? Won't you help me flourish, Lord God, not for my own means or my own end, but for yours, for your kingdom be reflected in my life today. And again, wherever you find yourself, whatever season, we need you to play your part, to reflect God in your space, in your place. Chances are I will never walk into your workplace. You are the only one that is going to have the opportunity to reflect God and reflect his purposes, to encourage them that they can flourish, that they can be seen, that they can be loved in him. Yeah. Nothing is wasted. Whatever your season looks like, nothing is wasted. And hey, if you're sitting here and you're going, I can't because, here's the thing. There's story after story in the Bible of going, hey, no matter what we do, there's a story in Luke 21 that talks about Peter who walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus and had personal relationship with him that he stuffed up and he threw it all away. And God doesn't just come in and go, okay, you need to do X, Y, and Z and get it right. As soon as relationship was restored, Peter was ultimately reinstated to the purposes that God had for him. They never went away. They just were reinstated because Peter positioned himself back, not because Jesus separated himself, but so Peter could be realigned with the purposes of God. God wants to restore us to his purposes that had already been set before the beginning of time. And God not only wants to restore us to the purposes of God, but to restore us to the promises of God. Galatians 3:29 says this, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise is that? That everything we need for life and godliness is found in Jesus. In John 8:36, it says that we might be free and free indeed. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says, in Jesus, we have a living hope. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, there is joy everlasting. Romans 8:17 says, we share in the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him. And if you don't see those purposes outworked in your life, God wants to restore you to his design, restore you back to the garden where his promises are all yes and amen, that there is nothing that we can do that can separate us from the promises of God. And not only are we restored to the promises of God, to the purposes of God and the promises of God, we are restored to the power of God. Let's go back to Genesis 1, verse 28. It says, then God blessed them and God said to them, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over every living thing that moves on the earth. God didn't just ordain purpose and cement a promise. He imparted his authority that we might have dominion over the things in this world. There is so much, and I have been a Christian for almost 25 years now, which is crazy to believe. For almost 25 years, I've known this truth. I've seen this outworked, but so easily I can fall into the trap that this world has dominion over me, that I am subject to the things of this world, not the things of heaven. And God wants to restore us to the power of God. He wants to restore us to his purposes. He wants to restore us to his promises, but the power is where we get authority. The power is where we get dominion. The power is how we don't live under the rule of this world, but over the rule of this world. That no matter what happens, we get to live as the head and not the tail. We have authority in Christ. And how do we restore the power of God in our lives? Power comes from coming into agreement with the Word of God. This thing has so much truth and so much power, but only if we actually speak it, only if we actually apply it, only if we actually see it for what it is, that it is God's good word, it is His good powers, His good principles. And I have to speak this every day over myself. And if you've never read your Bible out loud, let me challenge you to do that, because there are things that I haven't believed until I have spoken them into being. I have this been every day. I used to have this piece of paper on my mirror that would tell me all the promises of God, all the declarations of who God says I am. And I would speak that over myself out loud every day until I actually believed it to be true, because power comes from coming into agreement with the word. And so often it looks like a fight of will. I remember vividly one time when Dan and I were living in Mawson Lakes and we'd been married for a few years, and I just had become this little shell of myself. And it just got to the point where I was like, Dan, I was so confused and didn't know what I needed and what I wanted and was questioning my call and all the things. And Dan just went, Ashari, enough is enough. He's like, this is actually a spirit issue now. This isn't just a natural thing. This is actually a spirit thing. And I remember he literally got me to go stand outside our balcony, and I was horrified. And I'm sorry if you lived in Mawson Lakes at this time, because you might have heard what happened next. But Dan literally is like, Ashari, you actually need to break this thing by the power of your words. And he got me to speak, and not just speak, but actually yell and declare and profess the promises of God, so that I might reignite the power of God that was already there, that was already available, but I'd chosen not to engage with. And you know what? If you've been a Christian for a long time, if you're new to this Christian thing and you feel like you're running on empty, let me ask you this. Are you connected to the living source? I boiled the kettle literally 3 times the other day at work and was like, and you know how the kettles click even if they're not working, they always click. And so I was like, came back 3 times and I was like, kept pouring it into my cup and like, oh, the water's still cold, and pour it back in, and it was a whole thing. And here's the thing that I realized was that it was plugged in, but it wasn't turned on. It wasn't actually turned on at the source. And hey, maybe you're a Christian in this room and you know Jesus is there, but you're flicking that switch on and off. Like, you're my 1-year-old daughter who's just learned how to work out a PowerPoint, and you're flicking it on and off because you're not staying consistently connected. You might have power for a moment. You might even have enough power to disconnect yourself from the source for a moment. But as soon as something happens, you get overwhelmed by your feelings or tempted to do something out of alignment with the word, you flick the switch off and you just go do your own thing. You try and control your world. You maybe stay plugged in just in case you need God one day, but you're not actually staying connected to the source of your power, the source of your authority, the source of life and godliness and joy and hope and peace. You're treating Jesus as a battery pack, not a life source. Is Jesus your life source? Can you actually do what you're doing in your life without Him? Because if you can, I would challenge you that you're not actually living a life in alignment with what the Scripture says that we should be doing. If you are not living where you are a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit scared and a little bit like, God, if you don't come through, I'm stuffed, then I would challenge you that you're not actually living in the fullness of God's design and God's intent, because we are not designed to do this life on our own terms, in our own will, in our own strength. If we are not doing things that aren't sustaining ourselves, we need to be doing things that are actually stepping out of the boat. If we don't feel like we're walking on water most of our week, and I'm not talking about feeling like you're drowning, I'm talking about living on top. Again, we are the head and not the tail. If we are connected to this life source, we can do things that we couldn't otherwise do. Because here's the thing, you might be able to go a day, a week, maybe even a month without reconnecting to that source. But pretty soon you're going to feel flat and dry and hopeless and worn out and tired, and you're going to feel guilt and shame. And then what you're going to try and do is fabricate your own source because you're not connected to the source. Rather than humbling ourselves and flicking on that switch, which has the power waiting for you. Here's the thing, you flick that switch on, the power's there. It's not a waiting game. It's not like we need to wait for God to reconnect with us. It's like, no, we just need to reconnect. We need to reconnect to the source, to the authority, to the power that is in us and available to us. for us to be restored to the purposes of God, so we might be restored to the promises of God and unlock the power of God, first we have to be restored to the person of Jesus. Jesus is our source. He is the one who restores us to purpose, unlocks the promise, and unleashes the power of heaven within us. When we are restored with right relationship with Jesus, we get free and unlimited access to the power, the provision, the purposes, and the protection of God. There's a parable in the Bible called the parable of the lost son, and you can read it later for yourself in Luke 15, but for right now, I'm going to paraphrase, and it talks about this son that comes to the father and says, hey, I want my inheritance, pretty much saying, I wish you were dead, give me what's mine. And this father in his grace gives the son that inheritance. He sells off half the property, leaving himself to disgrace in the community. And the son goes out and squanders and loses everything. And he comes to this point where he recognizes that even the servants in his father's house have more than what he has trying to do it on his own. And he comes home and he starts this journey willing to offer himself back to his father as a servant. But while he's still a long way off, the father runs to him, greets him, embraces him and kisses him. And the son owns and confesses his sins and states why he's no longer worthy to be called a son. But the father interjects and not only restores him to relationship, but puts a robe and a ring on him, restoring him to the rights, to the freedoms, to the authority of a son as though he had never left. God wants to restore us to the person of Jesus. And so how do we restore our relationship with Jesus when it's out of order? It's simple. We repent. To repent simply means to turn from our own way. It means to change one's mind for the better. To change one's mind for the better. I know so often when I hear that word repent, it seems like this domineering command of repent, and there is an authority to it, but it's a heart position. It's a heart posture. It's to align my mind with the mind of Christ, to recognize that he is sovereign, that he is the one that set the foundations of the earth, and he is the one that knows best. It's aligning our mind with the mind of Christ. Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I don't know about you, but I need daily times of refreshing. I need daily access to fresh joy, to fresh hope, that times of refreshing may come. Jesus is our great restorer. He is willing and able to redeem and restore anything we return to him. God wants to take every broken piece that you bring to him and restore it, not to Genesis 3 when the fall happened, but to Genesis 1 where we were in perfect unity, perfect union, perfect relationship with God, where we didn't have any fear, where we didn't even know fear was an option because we were perfectly restored to God, where there is intimacy without fear, security without striving, hope without despair. Just like the son in the story, we get to change our mind for the better, be restored to the joy of our salvation. We get to come out of hiding and bring our mess to God and watch him rewrite the story that we have been narrating on our own for way too long. We get to bring that story to God and realign it with his purposes. Realign all the lies and what the world has told us, because so often the world informs our view of God, not our God informing the view of the world. Are we actually looking at everything through the lens of God and his plans, or are we looking at God through the lens of the world? Because that changes everything for us. Because God wants to restore us to his glory, to his purposes, his promise and his power. And we are restored to things when we align ourselves with him.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you're encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Adelaide campus. If you'd like to know more about Life, then visit our website at lifeadelaide.org or download the Life Adelaide app and stay connected.